I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The temperature's rising outside, but you can stay cool and comfortable inside with Blinds.com. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Save up to 50%, plus get a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Come on, let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Gray Bar Sports Open Live. Gray Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Here we go on a Wednesday night. Welcome in. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Great to have you with us this evening. Have you until 8 o'clock as we've got a lot of things to get to. Bernie Miklas is going to join us in about 10 minutes or so. We'll get his thoughts on where the Cardinals are at right now. I always tell you on these days of weekday day games, we don't do phone calls and everything on the extra inning show. We always hold that for Sports Open Line. So if you've got some thoughts after the Cardinals get swept in a three-game series by the Pirates, where they don't score a single run in the three games, we'll be opening up the phone lines and the text line and the video stream line to you coming up at 6:35, 6:40, somewhere in there once we're done with Bernie. We'll do that through the end of the 7 o'clock hour. Next hour, have a bunch of guests who are lined up on the program tonight. We're going to talk St. Louis Blues with someone who will be welcoming onto the program for a first time as we are going to have on to the program. It's going to be Mike Meyer, who does work for St. Louis STL Sports Central. Brian Boitano, figure skating legend, is going to join us. And Kelly Harper, the new Missouri women's basketball coach, going to join us as well. So that's all going to be coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. So hopefully you'll be able to enjoy those conversations. As always, if you do want to chime in on what we're talking about, you can get in on our phone and text line, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. Or as I mentioned, for those of you who are watching on the video stream, you can just leave a comment in the chat and we'll get to those as we go along with the program. Always appreciate the folks who jump right in on the Sports Open Line stream after being over on Redbird Rush Hour. I know that's a little bit of a pain going from one stream to the other when it's pretty much an immediate sort of thing, but seeing those numbers continuing to lift up, and I know a lot of people are loyal to what we've got going on here at KMOX Sports, and you jump from one to the other. Of course, for those of you listening on the radio, we love all of you just the same and appreciate you being part of the program. So here's my thing with this team, the Cardinals. After, look, it was a bad 3 days. You don't score a single run. And I give all the credit in the world to the Pirates for the quality of baseball that they're playing right now. This is clearly and obviously their best stretch. They were even more dominant against the New York Mets in a three-game series sweep before, where they had scored 30 runs. Now, the Mets did score four, but the Pirates outscored the Mets 30-4 in that three-game series. At some point in time, Pirates are going to start coming back to earth, and they're going to go back to looking like the fifth-place team in the NL Central. That is going to happen. That's who they're going to be this season. But right now, they're playing really, really good baseball, and you give credit to them for what they're doing. That being said, the way that this thing went down, the fact that you did not score a single run with you being the Cardinals, that's where I think where alarm bells start to go off. And if you're sounding those bells, I think it's a little early because they just got done having a really good series against Cleveland. They're still they're a half game out of a playoff spot right now. There's a lot of really good things about this team, and they've gone into lulls before. Like, it always feels like what's happening in the moment is the worst thing ever. And in some ways, because they didn't score a single run in this three-game series, in some ways, this is more challenging than some other low points that they've had. But you can watch some of these games and say they were competitive. You know, there's been some good things that happened this series. Sonny Gray was pretty good today until the seventh inning. Six innings giving up one run. That's not a bad day for him. And who knows if he comes back out for the seventh or not, if the game is maybe in a little bit of a different spot. You know, yesterday's game, they had even scoring no runs, they had a great opportunity in yesterday's game. They were unable to do so. They have struggled hitting with runners in scoring position. I think that's a little bit of that's the thing that maybe you're concerned with, where all of a sudden things start to look a little bit like last year, where they had a hard time hitting with runners in scoring position. The only game in that three-game series where it just felt like almost nothing went right was that first game of the series where Eric Fetty was just bad. And that was kind of the talking point coming out of that series. Monday night? Did I say Friday? Anyways, you know what I'm talking about. Game one, where Eric Fetty went out and really struggled, and the team only had four hits, and they didn't have any extra base hits, and they didn't have any at bats with runners in scoring position. That was the clunker of the series. In other games, including today, there were some positive spots in there. Now, they went 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position today. Again, that's the number that I think you look at and you get concerned with. Where my focus goes to, and this is going to somewhat dictate what the narrative is going to be by the time we get to Monday, is what does it look like this weekend against the Cubs? Can the Cardinals turn what was a not very good series against the Pittsburgh? Can they pivot quickly and look good in games that are bluntly more important against the Cubs? Now, we don't know for sure how much playing time they're going to get from Wilson Contreras. He's day-to-day after being hit by a pitch yesterday. Nolan Arenado is a little bit gimpy right now. They're being careful with him. Hopefully after the off day tomorrow, both those guys are ready to go. You still don't have Ivan Herrera. It's going to be a while till he gets back. Somebody like Thomas Ajayi, who I think you were excited about him getting another opportunity. Bluntly, he's just not hitting right now, and he's just slumping at a terrible time to do so. I don't think there's much doubt that his bat plays at the major league level. Right now, it's not. We saw a little bit of frustration with him today on a ground out that would have scored a run. It was a bang-bang play over at first base, and they just got him. And that's kind of the way things are going. When you are slumping, you are a tenth of a second too late instead of a tenth of a second early on bang-bang plays at first base. That's what's going on right now with Thomas Ajayi. Is it right to be a little bit concerned about the fact that two of the three starting pitchers this weekend are Miles Michaelis and Eric Fetty? Yeah, I think that's valid. I think that's completely valid. Those are two guys who have been trending in the wrong direction here lately. For somebody like Fetty, if he were to struggle on Sunday, I think we're starting to really have a conversation with his spot in the rotation. My general rule of thumb is once a guy's had like three straight really that's just kind of my leash. Once a guy has three really bad starts in a row, that's where the conversation begins. Now, I know a lot of people after a second straight not so great start, people were looking to bail on Fetty at that point, and we certainly had that conversation on the extra inning show on Monday, and I understood where people are coming from. But this is going to be a big start for Eric Fetty, and in a series that is oh so important against the Cubs, the Cardinals don't have their pitching lined up for it because you have Michaelis and Fetty going in two of the three. You'd really like for Gray to be pitching one of those games and for Liberatore to be pitching one of those games, and you're not going to get Gray in that series. Instead, the other two spots are going to be filled by Michaelis and by Fetty. Again, we'll give you an opportunity to talk through what's going on with the Cardinals. We'll do that at about 6:35 or 6:40. But up next, we'll be joined by Bernie Miklas for our weekly hit with him. He joins us in just a moment. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
Total Information AM, weekdays 5 to 9 on the voice of St. Louis, 104.1 FM, KMOX.
It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We are taking you till 8 o'clock tonight. We've still got a good number of things coming up. Guests on the program still tonight include Mike Meyer from STL Sports Central. We'll talk Blues hockey with him. Figure skating legend Brian Boitano is going to join us. New Missouri women's basketball coach Kelly Harper is going to join us as well. Right now, we're very happy to welcome on the program, courtesy of our friends at Saliga Heating and Cooling, it is Bernie Miklas. Bernie, always appreciate your time. How are you?
Yeah, it's good to be back with you again, Matt. I'm doing good. I know you're doing good. I'm not so sure about Cardinals fans.
No, there's two things that are true here. The Cardinals just played a series where they don't score a single run and get swept by the Pirates, and I'm not trying to gloss over that at all. That was not scoring a single run against the Pirates is a startling thing, no matter how good a baseball the Pirates are playing at the moment. At the same time, in the bigger picture, the Cardinals are in a fine spot, so if they respond to this this setback like they've done most times this year, then they're going to be okay. But, Bernie, it's just in the moment right now as we talk at 6:22 p.m., a few hours removed from this from the finishing of the series, that was not a great three games for this team.
No, it was horrible. And here's the deal. Here's how I look at it. First of all, I even said this on Tuesday on the Gas House Gang. This was after Ollie Marmol left. And, you know, we were getting some comments like, well, you know, you're going to go play the Pirates. I mean, it's only the Pirates. And it just shows me how at least some people pay no attention whatsoever what's going on outside of St. Louis. I mean, the Pirates, since May the 20th, are 23-17 now, and they before the Cardinals got there, they whacked the Mets, outscoring them 30-4 and sweeping them. Now, if the Pirates are sweeping a team with a $330 million payroll, it's no excuse for how poorly the Cardinals' offense was there. But the idea of the Cardinals getting swept by the Pirates, pay attention to what they did to the Mets. Pay attention to what they've been doing since May the 20th. They're playing really well right now. I care about whether the Cardinals win a series or lose a series. I don't care as much about how they lose a series. You either win it or you don't. And what's so funny about all this, you know, social media, of course, the season's over, sell everybody off, fire the manager, you know, all that stuff. The Cardinals, even though it was absolutely embarrassing for them to get shut out in Pittsburgh, they in their last five series, they have three series win, one split, and one loss. So what? So that means, you know, let's just start rebuilding? Like, the overreaction is amazing. That said, and I know I'm going on for a while here. You know what it is, Matt? It isn't that – it's how the Cardinals have been losing. And I came up with a great stat here earlier today, and I updated it after the game today. And I just think this says it all. I think the reason why we all overreact, fans, media, otherwise, because in their last 10 losses, and this goes back to the Toronto series, in their last 10 losses, the Cardinals have scored four runs total in the 10 losses. They were shut out six times in their last six losses. Excuse me. Six times in their last 10 losses. They scored one run one other game and two runs in three other games. 10 losses, 4 runs. It's like you can't make this stuff up. So that's what has people upset. It isn't so much the losses. It's the absurd nature of the losses.
What do you think leads to that? How does a team that's still, from an aggregate standpoint, a very solid offensive club, how is it that they are so all or nothing?
Well, it is a solid club, but you have some really streaky hitters. And you also have, for example, an outfield where you look at the offense production the whole entire year, the St. Louis outfielders compared to the other major league outfielders, they're way down on the list. I mean, they're like 25th, 26th in all the rankings. When you invest as much as they have in the outfield and you don't get any offense out of it, I mean, it's going to be hard to score runs on a consistent basis. And when the Cardinals score runs, when they're playing well, they score a lot of runs. So it's an extreme offense, extreme in terms of being good when they're going well, and extreme as in falling apart when they're not going well. It's almost like there's no middle ground. They're either terrible or they're terrific.
And now they go into a pivotal three-game series against Chicago where two of your three starters are Miles Michaelis and Eric Fetty, two guys who have really been struggling here lately.
Yeah, I'm not too crazy about that. That doesn't exactly fill you to the brim with hope and optimism. The only thing I can say is that, strangely enough, I mean, the Cubs haven't been playing all that great either. They're 5-7, their last 12 going into today. And even though they're a good team at Wrigley Field, you know, I noted this when the Cubs were here in St. Louis. You know, the Cubs, it's strange. They have a much better offense on the road than they do at Wrigley Field. Now, I'm not saying that that's going to remain in place for this coming series. But, you know, maybe Michaelis can trick them. Maybe Fetty. I know they're working with Fetty on some things, Dusty Blake. And I think we're going to see him locating pitches better and pitching smarter, quite frankly. So maybe they'll be able to kind of get a lot of balls hit right at fielders. I don't know. I don't know what else to say. Hey, I'd be happy with the Cardinals winning one game. I really would, because the Cubs are a better team and the Cubs are home. You know, so you just get one win there. You don't have to fly home thinking you're an absolute failure. It's been a 3-3 road trip so far. Once again, a road trip that has extremes. You sweep Cleveland. You go to Pittsburgh, you get swept there. Extremes.
The radio broadcast on Monday night in the Fetty game, I think it was Ricky who mentioned it, but it was interesting. He made the point that when Fetty was pitching better, he was actually issuing more walks, but then working out of that trouble. The walk rate is down, but he's giving up more hard hits. And to me, I thought that was an interesting point, because that tells you that he, in those games, he was working more on the edge, and sometimes he was losing those battles and walking guys, but sometimes he wasn't, and he was throwing pitches that weren't very hittable, and all of a sudden something happened where he's been throwing a lot of middle strikes.
Well, he has, and I was talking to Ollie separately about this, not just the Gas House Gang. And he said, really, the key to Fetty, and he says this is hardly some big scoop because it applies to most pitchers who don't throw 98. He said he's got to keep the ball down. He just has to keep the ball down. Like, his ground ball rate has been slipping. He's got to pound the lower part of the strike zone, and he's got to work the edges. And Pedro Pages, see, there's been a waste there too, because I was studying the framing statistics. Pages is one of the very best catchers in the majors at stealing strikes on pitches low in the strike zone, whether they're inside or outside, borderline, in the shadow type pitches. He's really good at stealing strikes. He's not as good at the top of the zone. So you got to pound the edges of the strike zone low if you're Fetty. You have no business pitching anywhere else, except unless you can think and get a muscle a fastball by somebody who's looking for another pitch. But he's got to get back to what works for him. I mean, his strikeout rate's terrible. The contact rate against him is terrible. But if you're putting it on a tee for these guys, then you know you got no chance. And he had been getting away with a lot of stuff all year, like the walks. But I don't think that's reasonable to think that's going to go on all season. And here we are with him. It's been pretty brutal.
Yeah, the expected ERA for him has been terrible. He's been one of the luckiest pitchers in baseball, and now lately he has not been as lucky. He's pitched more to what his numbers, underlying numbers, would say. There's something to be said about this team, though. When you think about if they were starting the playoffs right now, Bernie, you'd feel probably pretty okay about Sonny Gray. Yeah, you'd be hopeful about Matthew Liberatore, but he's never pitched in the postseason. He's never been pushed the way he's being pushed this year. And then it's a lot of question marks. They're contending right now with basically one guy that you would feel very comfortable with in a playoff game.
Well, you know, I agree with that, but I actually, unless there's some kind of physical decline, I would feel good about Liberatore because he's got good stuff. The key is, like, I don't know. You know, I don't know who your third starter would be. Now, if Pallante continues in this recent trend, and he's been really good his last five starts, and even though we know he will not strike a lot of people out, but if he's locating that four-seamer and especially that sinker, and he's getting all of these ground balls, I mean, he can give you six innings and get out of there with two runs. So I'm not saying he's great. I'm just saying there might be worse number three starters around. I don't know.
I'm not trying to be a pessimist here because I am a Matthew Liberatore guy as much as anybody. I'm so happy for him and what he's done this year, and I'm excited about his future. But the idea of him being pushed from an innings perspective more than he'll ever be pushed, you know, in his career up until this point, that small voice keeps talking to me in the back of my head.
Yeah.
But you know what is it gonna look like for him in September?
You're sounding like Ranji. That's all he ever talks about. No, all kidding aside.
Careful. I like you, Bernie.
I know. all kidding aside. No, I get it. But number one, he's a big, strong, athletic guy, and you know he's had minor league seasons where he's pitched a lot. And the other thing is, I would hope along the way that maybe Ollie Marmol and Dusty Blake, you know, if there's a way to let him skip a turn in the rotation, if there's a way to you know, give him an extra day's rest or two. I mean, Craig Counsell in Milwaukee, you know, in a couple of those final years, I mean, he did that all the time. He basically had a six-man rotation without actually naming a sixth starter, but he would find ways to get, you know, Burns and Woodruff extra time off during the season where they really weren't missing all that much, but they would skip a start every now and then. See, I would say follow that model, and I think you can make sure that you don't burn out Liberatore. At least it would help you to avoid burning him out.
He is Bernie Miklas. You read him and you watch him at St. Louis STL Sports Central. He is part of the Cardinal Territory podcast along with Katie Wu, and he's all over the place here at KMOX, which we absolutely love. Bernie, before we let you go, can you tell us a little bit about Saliga Heating and Cooling?
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
The temperature's rising outside, but you can stay cool and comfortable inside with Blinds.com. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Save up to 50%, plus get a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The Chris and Amy Show. Weekdays starting at 9 on 104.1 FM. KMOX.
It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. St. Louis showing out pretty strong right now because the U.S. Men's National Soccer Team, they are playing over at City Park right now in a semifinal of the Gold Cup, and they are leading right now against Guatemala by a 2-0 score. That place is packed. A lot of Guatemala fans are there from what we understand, but so far so good for the United States as they are up 2-0, and it just watching it on TV as I've gotten on right now, City Park looks really good. It just it's a good representation of our city. So great to see that on a not just a national stage but an international stage. All right, like we always say on days of these weekday day games where we don't do the full extended extra inning show, we always want to give you the opportunity to chime in on the Cardinals here on Sports Open Line. So that's what we're going to do right now. The forum is open to you for the most part. If you want to talk through anything going on with the Cardinals, how you're feeling about them coming out of the Pittsburgh series, if the sky is falling, or if it's a situation where, hey, it's just three games, it's just one series, they're out some guys, whatever it might be, however you're feeling, this is the opportunity to talk here on the program. You can call or text 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, MattPauley on air, or for those of you who are watching us via the video stream on Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube, you can leave a comment in the chat, and we will get to that as we do go along on the program today. So opportunity to hear from you, and we're going to jump off with this one. Sam comes in and says, why do the Cardinals not try an opener for days that Miles or Fetty pitches? Now, I do know that they talked about this on the Gas House Gang on Monday. This was a conversation that was somewhat initiated by Kevin Wheeler, who was filling in on Monday on the Gas House Gang. So here would be the idea for an opener. You'd go out and you'd use a bullpen guy, you'd use the relief pitcher for an inning or two, and then you'd bring in your bulk innings guy after that, who would be Michaelis or Fetty. And what that could potentially accomplish is the chance to, you know, a lot of times when we talk so much about starting pitchers and not wanting to see starting pitchers go through an order three times through, well, what we're actually kind of saying in that situation, not always, but a lot of times it's we don't want to see a starting pitcher face the top hitters for the other team a third time through. So if you are to use an opener, you are potentially, and look, using an opener is also a gamble because if the relief pitcher that day just isn't on, well, then all of a sudden you could be down 2, 3, 4 runs, and that day's bulk innings guy, that day's starting pitcher, is essentially not even in the game yet. So there is a bit of a gamble that goes along with it. But I do think there's something to be said for at times maybe using an opener, and what that would allow is then your bulk inning guy, who would be Michaelis or Fetty in this scenario like Sam brings up, is you would then be able to possibly get them three times through the order, but only twice against the top of the order, if that makes sense. So I would not be against that. It can, you know, put a toll on your bullpen a little bit. It also, it depending on who you use, there could be a scenario where you would have liked to have them available later. Like, there's, it's not just an easy thing to do, but I do think there is some there is something to be said for that idea for sure. And again, that was brought up a lot. If you want to go back and find the archive of it, Kevin and Tom talked a lot about that during the Gas House Gang on Monday. Let's grab to let's go to Tom. Tom has given us a call. Tom, you're on Sports Open Line.
Hi, man. Thanks for taking my call. My first comment is about the grain of the bat. I see so many ball players just picking the bat up and swinging it without checking the grain. You do that by looking at the name of the bat, and it, you actually hit the ball harder and better and less broken bats. We were taught that from childhood. And the second thing is not just our catchers, but all catchers that I've watched hold the target up, but they take it down before the pitcher actually throws the ball, and I believe that we would get more strikes if they could see the target. That's all I've got.
Yeah, Tom, appreciate it. I can't speak to the grain thing. That is, I will trust that major league hitters are doing what they need to do with bats. Tom, maybe you know them more about that than I do, but I'm gonna pass on that part of the question because I can't bring anything educated to that except to say I trust big league hitters to have the correct bat with them. As far as what you see sometimes with catchers, and this is something that Bernie brought up in our conversation earlier about Pedro Pages and how good he is at stealing strikes at the bottom of the zone. So if you can get a pitch that's a little bit lower than the zone and then frame it in a way that you steal a strike, I'm sure that's part of what you are seeing right there. The art of framing pitches is something that has been talked about a lot. And you don't want to see the violent motion. Like, there's some catchers out there who they set up in their original spot and then they kind of quickly move somewhere else. And then the pitch comes in and they move violently. I don't think that's framing pitches. I think that's just looking dumb, for lack of a better term, for sure. But yeah, that is, it's got to be smooth. I don't notice it as much as you do. Maybe it's just not something that I'm paying attention to because I watch all these games and it's just kind of part of the game now, and it's not something that overly bothers me or anything like that. But yeah, that's most of the movement that you see back there is part of framing pitches. And if you're seeing Pedro Pages do that, again, he's one of the best in baseball at being able to steal pitches at the bottom of the zone, so that certainly goes into that. It's something that is going to become less and less effective as we move forward because there is going to be an automated strike zone of some, we'll see at least a little bit, right? That is going to be it's going to start with the challenge system. And I loved the challenge system in spring training. I would hope that they just stay with the challenge system. But as baseball continues to advance from a technological standpoint, maybe at some point in time, it does become something where every pitch is being called from a computer, from an automated type thing. Maybe we get there at some point. I think next year we'll have the challenge system in place. So in those type of situations, framing a pitch and stealing a strike is not going to be as effective. Not every single pitch is going to be challenged. So there is still going to be, especially early in counts, we're going to see an opportunity to still steal strikes, but it's not going to be quite as impactful as it was before. Kevin has given us a call. Hey, Kevin, you are on a Gray Bar Sports Open Line.
Hey there. So I got some stat questions because it seems like they're all about stats these days, right? Lefty versus righty. This guy hits that pitcher. This guy doesn't hit that pitcher. Why in the world? It's kind of a three-part question, I guess. Why in the world do these guys keep swinging at the first pitch when the ball is hit fair on the first pitch? It's an out 4.5 times to 1. So that's a huge stat. And number two, why do they sit there and go up and swing at the first pitch after the guy in front of them? And it happened today in the first inning. I forget who it was, but somebody drew a walk and the next guy up hit a ground ball on the first pitch, which made a force out, and that made them two outs, and they didn't score that inning. And then, how many times is Mason Wynn going pup. How many times is Mason Wynn going to look at a called third strike? I mean, these are pros. You don't, if it's close, put the bat on the ball. So just wanted to get your take on that.
All right, Kevin, certainly appreciate that. So you brought up Mason Wynn. Daniel in the studio, let me throw this one at you before I answer the question, if I can, if you got a second. What do you think, because he just brought up Mason Wynn, what do you think Mason Wynn's batting average is on the first pitch of at-bats?
Mason Wynn's batting average?
Yeah.
Is it above 250?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to say 367.
458.
Holy cow.
Mason Wynn is a 458 hitter on the first pitch of accounts.
Wow.
So the point that I'm trying, and the only reason I noticed that was because Kevin brought up Mason Wynn, so I was clicking on his profile page. I could figure it out if I had some time. I don't know what the overall major league average is, batting average on first pitch. But I think the larger point to this is, look, do I get frustrated? Do I get frustrated just as Kevin does when there's a pitcher who can't throw a strike to save their life? They walk a dude and the next guy comes up and swings first pitch and just weakly grounds out. Yeah, that is frustrating to watch. I am not discounting that feeling at all. Here's part of what's probably going on in that moment. You are going to sit here and, as a hitter, say, you know what, this guy just issued a four-pitch walk to somebody. He is going to try to groove a get-ahead fastball and just a middle, something I can deal with. And sometimes the best pitch you see in an entire at-bat is the first pitch. Pitchers love getting ahead 0-1. You ask any pitcher out there, what's the most important pitch? They always say strike one. That's the cliche answer. What's the most important pitch? Strike one. If you can get ahead in the count 0-1, you are going to that puts you on a path to success in that single at bat. So trying to swing first pitch when very often that's going to be the most hittable pitch Kevin's numbers are interesting. I have to go look that up. Batting average on first pitches. He said 4-1 you get out, so that'd be about a 200 average. If out of every five times it's an out, that's a 200 average, which isn't very good, obviously. But I watch enough that I see pitchers try to get ahead with strike number one, and more often than not, I think that's what's going on right there. In terms of guy, look, I'm not going to get as upset about the strikeouts. I preach pitch selection so much. It's one of my big beliefs in baseball that I can deal with strikeouts. I would rather somebody strike out more often than always be swinging at pitches that you can't do anything with, that just turn into weak grounders. And yeah, you make contact and sometimes something happens to dribble its way through the infield, but that's not a good enough reason to swing outside your zone. So if guys get called out on strike three, look, I get protecting the plate and all that. It's not something I get overly. I feel like I can't talk out of both sides of my mouth. Like I feel like I can't get angry about somebody striking out on strike three when I get frustrated when guys expand their zone too much. So that's just sort of a me thing. I understand the frustration for sure. I understand why people would take another side of that. All right, well, another break. We'll come back and we'll continue on with the program. This is the Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
Only have about 30 seconds left here in the program. Did a little bit of research very quickly during the break on batting average on first pitch. Last year for a full season, it was 333 when swinging at first pitch. This year, 339 is the batting average when swinging at a first pitch, which is obviously higher than the major league average. So a 339 average on swinging first pitch, that's why guys do it. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
Back at it here on KMOX as we continue to take you through this Wednesday evening. No Cardinals baseball tomorrow, so we'll have two straight days, of a full two-hour program. So glad to be able to do that. Blues have been making some news. They made some more news today as they sign forward Pius Suter. Talk about that and a whole lot more. We're very happy to be able to go to the guest line right now and welcome this guy on for the first time ever here on Sports Open Line. You see his great Blues content, see and read his great Blues content over at STL Sports Central. He is Mike Meyer. You follow him on Twitter at M_Meyer3. Mike, thanks for taking some time with us today. How are you?
Matt, I'm doing well. Just enjoying some nice weather out here this evening.
Yeah, it's not not terrible compared to what we've had recently. Blues have been very busy. Let's kind of work, I guess, backwards because get the news today that they're bringing in Pius Suter, as we mentioned a few moments ago. Feels like this is somebody who can, you know, maybe upgrade this team. Look at him as a potential second line center, something like that. What did you think about the move?
I love the move. It was a little bit of a razor thin center market here, but this is going to be a good move that the Blues can give themselves a little bit of a stopgap while Dalibor Dvorsky continues to work his way up, continue his development here in the AHL. I think it's going to work well here, heading here into Montgomery's system. The only thing that worries me is, you know, he had a career high here in goals and points here last season, so there's always that lingering feeling, is there going to be a little bit of a regression as he goes into a new team? Going to need to get acclimated here to the locker room and to Montgomery's system. But, you know, for a guy who's going to get signed here for about $4 million here each season for the next 2 years, I'm loving this move.
They also recently announced the addition of Nick Bjugstad, who last year 66 games with Utah. Just general, not as high profile of a signing right there, but somebody who could potentially come in and help this team.
Yeah. And Blues fans here, I mean, we've seen Nick Bjugstad here over the last several years. He's bounced his way across the NHL. It's a massive, massive mammoth here of a guy, 6'6", yeah, 200 pounds, who's likely going to be taking the role of Roddick Foxa this coming season, but just at a very inexpensive $1.75 million for the next 2 years here as well. So about half the cost here of Roddick Foxa is what he's getting paid here in Dallas. But analytically, I really like the signing. He's looking like he's going to be better than Fox here defensively. And just feel to think here as well that he's only one season removed from 22 goals, 45-point season here with the Coyotes. So should the Blues struggle offensively, Bjugstad's a player who, in my opinion, you can have to throw up there here in the lineup here just as needed.
A lot of Blues fans were a little bit torn on the trade that was made with Logan Mailloux coming in, but they do move on from someone who really came on after the coaching change this past year in Zach Bolduc. What were your thoughts when you saw this move? And well, I guess we'll get to what they get back in a second, but let's start with the Bolduc part about this. They're watching a guy walk out who obviously was coming on last season.
Yeah, this is a tough pill to be able to swallow here at this point. So, like you said, he was coming on the second half of the season, and he really seemed like he was primed for a breakout year. But, you know, really in a hockey trade sense, any single trade that's going to be good here for the team also is going to hurt here a little bit. So, Bolduc's a guy that I actually started covering the prospects with, and he was the number one guy that I was covering here back in 2022. So, this was a trade that hurt me here a little bit. It's kind of like seeing one of my kids, like, oh, darn, okay, I don't want to see this guy go. But this is a guy who I think became a little bit expendable as they have a plethora of wingers that they can be able to go to, and they desperately needed that injection of youth here on the defense, and especially on the right side, who could be able to complement Broberg for what could be potentially the next decade. So whether it's this season here or next, you know, I think Mailloux is going to be a great fit here for this Blues system.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a gamble just in what you said. I mean, they have to wait on him to continue to develop. He spent a lot of time with the Canadiens AHL affiliate last season, only 7 regular season games with the Canadiens. So it feels like they're walking away from a guy in Bolduc who is also young, same age, but is has a little bit more of an NHL track record than Mayhew, but Mayhew maybe has a higher ceiling just in terms of getting a potential lockdown defenseman. Would you agree with that basic statement?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's always going to be a gamble here with this, and especially because he has not really proven himself in the NHL. Like you said, only 7 games. But this is a guy who is going to be able to come in, and he's not just going to be able to provide here offensively, but he's a guy who in an interview here yesterday said he was really torn on which one that he preferred more, being able to score a goal or be able to just lay a guy out here on the track. So I think if you are looking at the upside, that you can be able to see a guy who's not only wanting to be able to score the goals, be able to put up the points here on the scoreboard, but also wants to be able to prove for his team here defensively here and physically as well.
Talking with Mike Meyer, who does Blues coverage for STL Sports Central, does a fantastic job with it. Really enjoyed watching some of those post games, especially during the postseason. And I know some of those numbers from a podcast standpoint were absolutely fantastic nationally, which is really, really cool to see for everything everybody's doing over at STL Sports Central. Connected to the Mayhew signing is the reported news that the Blues are going to waive veteran defenseman Nick Leddy. Any surprise, any shock, or is this something that was kind of expected for you?
I think it's a bit expected, and then especially when it comes to a guy here like Nick Leddy, a veteran. I mean, you never want to be able to see that this is the way that he's going to end up going out. I'm hoping that he's going to end up finding his way here with the NHL, and maybe this is going to be a situation very similar to Brandon Saad, where they would mutually terminate the last year of his contract, which would work out here as well for the Blues, again, financially. But again, 1 year left, $4 million. This is where I think the Blues said, you know, we got to be able to do something here between he and Falk. Falk has the additional year here on his contract as well. So Leddy became, honestly, the odd man out whenever you acquired Logan Mayhew. So we'll see what happens here with him. But I think that this, you know, the writing was on the wall with the acquisition here of Mayhew.
Going back a little bit, we really didn't have much of an opportunity to talk through the draft. We've had Cardinals baseball on just about every night. We'll start with their first-round selection in Justin Carbonneau. What were your thoughts on him? And yeah, especially with you being so connected to prospects, did you like that selection with the 19th overall pick in the draft for them?
Well, if I'm being honest, I actually really wanted Kashawn Aitchison. So, you know, when he went 2 picks previously here to the Islanders, you know, I almost threw my hands up in the air and said, okay, well, fine, here we go. But Carbonneau has been as advertised. You know, he has come into camp, and this is a guy who does not he doesn't get around. I mean, this is a guy who is serious. He doesn't like to be able to go around people here on the ice. He likes to be able to go through them. So fans, in my opinion, are going to be able to see this guy. Maybe a little bit early for me to say this, but he on the ice looks a little bit like TJ Oshie with his reverse checks, with his ability to go hard here to the net, and just with his offensive and defensive prowess here about him. So I think this kid has got a really good NHL career here about him.
Did anything else jump out at you? I mean, they didn't have a whole lot of draft picks. They had a 5th-round selection. They had a 6th-round selection. They can bring in some other guys after the draft and everything. And we'll get into development camp in a moment. But are there any other names that have just come into the Blues organization or where rights have been granted where you feel like somebody's got a really bright future?
Yeah, Fyodorov is the guy who was drafted here in the 5th round. He's definitely got some high offensive upside. He was nearly a point-per-game player in the Russian Junior Leagues here this past season, but he does have some work to be able to get done here as they work to go to be able to work his way up. The thing I like here about it is that he had played a couple of games here in the VHL, which is the AHL equivalent here in Russia. And then he also got a couple of games here up in the KHL here as well, here as an 18-year-old. So the fact that they were trusting him to be able to play amongst men at 18 years old and just a little over $150 here on himself, I think that shows some really good promising signs for at least a 5th-round flyer.
few more moments with Mike Meyer. He is part of the team over at STL Sports Central. Very broad question. Go with this however you would like to go with it, but I know you've been covering developmental camp. What have you seen? What's really stuck out to you as some Blues players of the future have gotten on the ice?
I think one of the guys that fans who especially paid attention to the World Juniors here this past year, Jakub Stancil, he has looked as advertised here as well. Between he and Tomas Mrsic, another mid-round draft pick here by the Blues, really, really good offensive of abilities. I think that they've got a couple of underrated snipers that can be able to come in and just hungry and ready to be able to play. But if there's anything here with this prospect camp here itself is that, you know, there's going to be a lot of players who are going to be vying for spots over the next couple of seasons, and it's going to be some tough competition. So I'm glad I'm not Doug Armstrong and Alexander Steen who have to be able to make these cuts and these decisions on who's going to be able to make it, because there's a lot of talent that they have to be able to choose from here within just this camp alone.
Last thing for you, and obviously we went through all the moves that have been made over the last few days. Do you feel like the Blues are a better team right now than they were when the season ended, or not so much?
If you had asked me that just a couple of hours ago before the Suter signing, I would have said on paper right now that they were not better. But with the acquisitions here of Suter, with the acquisition here of Mayu, unfortunately the shipping out here of Bolduc, I think that this team on paper is better. I do like what this brings here to the team here defensively. If they don't end up moving out Justin Falk and Mayu takes a spot, he and Falk can be able to alternate here between that second and third line pairings. And I really like what the opportunities are going to be able to bring here for this squad. So I guess roundabout way here of answering your question, I do think that this team looks better here year over year.
I lied to you. One more thing, because assuming that Krug ends up on the long-term IR, it feels like they still have a little bit of money to play with here this mm-hmm. offseason. Do you feel like they've got other significant things that they could do before all is said and done here?
Significant things? I don't know. I think you'd have to be able to move out a couple of other guys, Joseph Texier here and what have you, some of those additional supporting cast characters before that you could be able to look to be able to move some other people in. Selfishly, I wish that they could be able to bring in like a Mason McTavish, a Gabe Vilardi, but I think that those guys may be just a little bit out of the price range here of Doug Armstrong. He's going to want some additional cap flexibility here during the season, and honestly, I don't know if there's really going to be room for them here on the roster. So again, without really being able to ship out another notable player, I think that the Blues may be done with some significant moves here ahead of next season.
Mike Meyer covers the Blues and prospect coverage as well. He does a lot of it for STL Sports Central, part of that team over there, which we're such big fans of what they do on an everyday basis from a written content standpoint, video standpoint, audio standpoint. They do a fantastic job. You can follow along with him on Twitter at @M_Meyer3. Mike, thanks so much for taking the time. Really enjoyed this conversation. Hopefully we can do it again down the line.
I look forward to it. Thanks so much, Matt.
You bet. Very good. There's Mike Meyer joining us after a very busy day of, not day, a few weeks, not a few weeks. Come on, Matt. A week and a half. Let's call it a week and a half. Week since the, really since the draft, it's been a busy time for the Blues. And I think I agree 100% with what Mike said. When they move on from Bolduc, I understood why. Because if you can bring in a guy who you think projects out as a top-line defender, well, even if it's going to take a little bit of time to get there, you can win that trade eventually down the line. But for the right now, you don't really know for sure what it's going to look like, and you may have taken a bit of a step back. But that Suter signing today, and again, another great point by Mike, he's coming off his best season. Are you able to continue to push forward, or is it one of those moments where you go far and then you take a step back the next year? We'll just have to wait and see on what's going to happen there. We've still got a lot to get to. Got the chance to talk with a couple of cool people over at Busch Stadium over the last week or so, both Brian Boitano and Missouri women's basketball coach Kelly Harper. Those interviews on the way still. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
The temperature's rising outside, but you can stay cool and comfortable inside with Blinds.com. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Save up to 50%, plus get a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dave Glover Show, weekdays at 1 on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
It's the Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. A very busy 7 o'clock hour. Does it continue on? I'd mentioned before, and we just heard from Kelly Harper a few moments ago, the Missouri women's basketball coach. This last Cardinals homestand, it was a who's who of folks coming in. And one of those folks that I got to meet, and this is really excited, the U.S. Figure Skating Championships are going to be happening in St. Louis prior to the next Olympics. So essentially, this is the Olympic qualifying. This is a huge event that's going to be taking place at Enterprise Center and some other venues throughout the St. Louis area as well. Figure skating legend Brian Boitano was in St. Louis to promote the event this past week, and I got the chance to talk with him at Busch Stadium, which was pretty darn cool.
Good to be here. This has been so fun. Love it.
We're talking inside of Busch Stadium. You just threw out a first pitch a little while ago. Tell me how that went for you.
Strike. I striked it out.
Okay. Good velocity.
I think it was pretty good. Okay. Hey, I met my goals. So the pitcher didn't have to step out of play, or the catcher didn't have to step out of play. So
that's
okay.
Good.
Yeah, it's
that's good.
Right.
I was just told a few moments ago that you've got a friendship with former Cardinals manager Tony La Russa.
Yeah, I sent him the picture on the field, and he asked me if I was a prospect or a suspect. I said yes.
Where did that friendship originate in?
In San Francisco. I met him. We had done different events, and I did his, he had a dog, ARF mm-hmm. Foundation in San Francisco at the time. So through that and just different events that I would do, he supported the opera and the ballet and stuff like that, and I would see him at events. And so he's become a good friend of the family.
Pretty amazing the things he does, obviously, with animals. Yeah. He's got an event coming up in St. Louis for military. I mean, he's always doing something to help other people.
He's a giving back type of guy. He does so many good things.
this is a really cool thing that's coming to St. Louis. I tell people about, I was just talking to my wife the other day,
yeah.
and I was reminding her about it, and I was explaining how big of a deal this is.
It's huge.
This is determining who's going to represent the United States in the Olympics. The figure skating championships are going to be coming to St. Louis.
Yeah.
I can talk about it, but you can do it a lot more. Tell folks what this
is. Yeah, it's our Olympic trials. So everybody that you will see in this competition will be the same people that you see in Milan a month later. We have such a strong contingent of skaters this year. We have, for the first time ever, in three categories out of four categories, we have three world champions. And history tells us, percentage-wise, that people who win the world championships the year before the Olympics usually win the Olympic gold medal. So in ice dance, we have the world champions. Men, we have world champion. And women, we have the world champion as well. In fact, Alyssa Liu was here throwing out the pitch 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that was at the World Championships in Boston this past March. What has led to the United States tends to lead the way in athletics, but like you said, winning three out of four from a World Championship standpoint, that hasn't happened. What has happened with U.S. figure skating, where it's gone from always being great, but really to this next level?
You know, it's all cyclical. You know, we have like ebbs and flows as any, you know, sporting event, but right now we're just so strong. And we have a lot of surprise people who have come in and done really well. Like Alyssa Liu was a surprise world champion. But you know, it's been a lot of building on past championships for them to get to this level. And they've all just sort of dominated this last year. They've just gotten into their flow and they're at the top of their game. And so the real secret is to keep it going more this year and just stay on the top of your game and then cruise through the Olympics.
Now, what's the competition like internally? Not before you get out, but I mean, everybody trying to get these spots, what we're going to see at these world championships.
Yeah, the competitions, I mean, it's pretty tough. I mean, you know, it's an individual competition. So it's like not when you're out there alone. And when you're backstage with all the other skaters, there's people try mind games and stuff like that to psych you out and things like that. But, you know, at an elite level, it really doesn't make too much of a difference. You do what you can do and you're seasoned. But, you know, the pressure in Olympic gear, and especially what they'll feel in St. Louis for the nationals, if they don't do well here, they're not going to make the Olympic team. So there's pressure here in St. Louis, and then it'll escalate to like going for an Olympic gold medal in Milan a month later.
We're talking with figure skating legend Brian Boitano, the U.S. Figure Skating Championships, January 5th through 11th. That's another important part about this. This is not a one-night event over at the Enterprise Center. Many nights there. Other venues in the market are being used as well for some other things. I mean, this is a big week-long sort of thing.
It's a week-long sort of thing. I'm doing a Boitano's Lounge in the building. So it's a place that I set up for skating fans to buy tickets, come have elevated food and drinks and socialize with the legendary alumni, because we're going to have a lot of famous people there. You know, Christy Yamaguchi and Dorothy Hamill, Scott Hamilton, like they'll all be there because it's Olympic year. And then also the current skaters come into the lounge to mingle with the people who are watching. So it's really fun.
I know you're a culinary, you know, guy. Is that the food and stuff? Like, does it have to get approved through you?
Absolutely. Okay. Are you kidding? Yeah, I'm not serving anything. Actually, all the cocktails are developed by me. So it's like everything served in the lounge is anything that I've okay or developed as a cocktail or a mocktail. So
how'd you get into that?
You know, I had a Food Network show for a few years, and it sort of paralleled my life of having friends over to the house for dinner, and we would all cook together, and that sort of turned into a TV show and a cookbook. And then I got a call from a man doing boutique hotels, and he's like, "You want to do Boitano's Lounges in my boutique hotels?" And I'm like, "Sure, I'd love to do that." So I started developing cocktails and food for that, and so I'm heading there tomorrow in Lincoln, Nebraska, and then Kansas City to see our second property.
You, your story is really interesting. You ended, you know, from an Olympic standpoint, your last Olympics was '94, but the TV stuff you've done, the book you wrote, like everything, you have found a way to really transform into almost a second career.
Well, you know what? I've always just followed my passion. I always say I've never had a real job. I've always just followed what I wanted to do and sort of gone in that direction. So, and the food thing just happened. It was organic. It just happened. And then that went into an HGTV special of me renovating my great-great-grandfather's house in Italy and discovering my roots there. And so it just sort of all leads in certain directions that I decide to go this way or that way. And I just, I just pursue what I want to.
I'm going to put you on the spot here. All do right, you have yeah. Like any St. Louis history stories?
I do.
Okay, let's hear it.
Do you know this already?
No, I
have Did
no
you
clue.
Ask me for sure? I was the last ice skating show, or maybe show even total, in the Checker Dome.
Really?
I was, and the first one to open the new stadium 6 months later.
Okay.
So, yeah, I was literally, I love the Checker Dome. We always love skating in the Checker Dome. And I was, yeah, champion, it's Campbell Soup, Champions on Ice, and we were the last show in the Checker Dome.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it's
good,
fun, huh?
Good say, yeah, no clue. I was ready to, you know, edit something
I
out
you
of
the
knew
about it.
I had no clue. So, you know, threw one out there and it worked out. All right, so folks who want to take in this event, January 5th through the 11th, SkateSt.Louis2026.com is the website, SkateSt.Louis2026.com. Brian, it's been a pleasure. Thanks
Thank
so much
you.
For
Thanks for having
time.
Me.
You bet.
That was my conversation with figure skating legend Brian Boitano. He was in town to really promote the U.S. Figure Skating Championships, which are going to be taking place January 4th through the 11th at both Enterprise Center and Centene Community Ice Center. If you want to find tickets, there's multiple ways to get connected with tickets. If you go to the St. Louis Sports Commission website, you can always go to their events page, or you can just skip all that and go right to Ticketmaster, and they've got all session tickets. They've got all kinds of tickets that are available for this very cool event that's going to be taking place. That's going to be right in front of the Winter Olympics. So this is going to be the Olympic trials in addition to the U.S. Figure Skating Championship, and what a great event that's going to be coming to St. Louis, and so cool to talk to somebody like Brian Boitano. We are going to take a break, and we'll come back, wrap up this program tonight. Don't go anywhere. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
KMOX is everywhere. 1120 AM, streaming live on the Odyssey app and now at 104.1 FM.
Welcome back in. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly, taking you until 8 o'clock tonight, so we're in our second and final hour of the show. And I got the opportunity to talk with new Missouri women's basketball coach Kelly Harper. She was at Busch Stadium during this most recent homestand, and you look at just what's going on right now when it comes to women's basketball. Obviously, Caitlin Clark is a really, really big deal, and she has raised the level of the sport. A Mizzou connection to that, Sophie Cunningham, has been in the news a lot as Caitlin Clark's teammate. So it's been fun to see the sport of women's basketball continue to get more and more attention upon it. College women's basketball, in recent years, we've seen the ratings go up on the final women's Final Four and things like that. So it's a sport that seemingly is very much on an upward trajectory. When you look at Kelly Harper, she is someone who was the coach at Tennessee. She's someone who was the coach at Missouri State. So she knows the conference, she knows the state. And as we got the chance to talk with her a little bit, just asked her to start our conversation about how things are going here since she got the job. You see what she's doing on social media. She very much seems to be embracing her new job as the head coach of Missouri women's basketball.
Well, I think any time you take over a program, you have a few things that are priorities, and staff, recruiting, those are two of the big ones. And the other one is your current team. Mm-hmm. So those three things were the priorities early on. We really attacked that. But then, I've got a great group. I'm telling you, a great group to work with, great administration. It's a lot of good people over there at Mizzou.
It used to be when a new coach would come in, you would have to re-recruit the team, and that was a rare thing. But in today's world of transfers and everything, you're in many ways, you're kind of re-recruiting every team every year, no matter what.
You know, this is actually the fifth program that I've coached. So the fifth time I've taken over a program. But this is the first time I've taken over during the transfer portal season, I guess. So it was definitely different. We came in, and I think, you know, initially it's got to be your play. You try to build a relationship quickly with your returners and make sure that they see your vision. They want to be part of that vision, and that feeling has to be mutual, you know. And I'm super excited about the players that stay. We have five stay, and then you got to build a team. You got to jump in the portal and start recruiting and build a team.
For you as a head coach, what has it been like going through this evolution? Because we're going to be in a different world next year and years forward. I mean, it's just always changing. But you look at where we're at right now in college athletics. If you're doing the things the way you were doing 5 years ago, you're not going to have success.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is just really embracing the change. And I think, you know, we're in good position at Mizzou because I think they've handled the NIL landscape as well as anyone. But that the target's moving. It's constantly moving. And so you have to be, you have to really be forward thinking what's about to happen, be prepared for change, and then embrace the change. It's definitely different. If you want to fight it, you know, if I want to sit here and say, oh, it shouldn't be like this, I wish it was like it was 15 years ago. If I want to say that, I'm going to get behind, right? You just, these are the times, these are the new rules we're playing with, and you better figure them out.
You have an athletic director in Laird Veach who seems to be incredibly forward-thinking. So from the outside looking in, you would know more than me, but it seems like really does a good job of supporting coaches. How important is it to walk into a situation where seemingly you have a really good athletic director?
Yeah, he's phenomenal. You know, I think he's intelligent, he's caring, he is forward-thinking. I think we have a really good structure in place in the athletic department to really handle a lot of these changes and be prepared for what's to come. I think, you know, there's this interesting space about where we're going and where we are now and what are we going to do in the middle of that, right? In between time. And I think they've really done a good job of making changes that are going to be able to evolve with the new times. And I credit him, and he's put together a great staff, and you know, but also just people you want to be around. I think there's such wonderful human qualities with our athletic director and his staff.
You didn't become a basketball coach to talk about the transfer portal and to talk about name, image, likeness, and stuff like that. So let's talk basketball. When you talk about putting your priorities in and creating the culture and everything that you want to do, what are some of the things that when somebody plays a team coached by you, you want them walking out and said, that team did this, did that. What's the identity?
Yeah, you know, I think for us, we're really trying to build the identity that we think can be successful in the SEC, that can be successful in this state and in this region. And for us, we're going to start with our offense and our pace. We want to be a high-scoring team. We want to put players on the court that have the ability to score multiple ways, be very versatile with our scoring. We want to be tough. We want to be relentless. Who doesn't, right? Every coach, no coach is going to sit here and answer that question without saying the word tough. Everybody wants to be tough. But I think for us, you know, handling adversity, it's not always going to be easy, and it's not always going to be pretty. And that's okay. It's how you're going to handle that. And so I think that's where we're talking about the toughness. It's not the physicalness and the brute strength. It's the sometimes it's the emotional and the mental toughness that creates winners. And that's what we want to do. But I think when you see us play, we want to be intelligent. When you see us play defensively, it may change game to game. That's where we're going to try to use IQ, scouting reports. And, you know, I hope you see our team get better, because I think one of our strengths in our program is going to be the player development that our staff can provide.
Mention your resume a little bit. Your last two stops are very impactful because you've got experience in the state at Missouri State and experience in the conference at Tennessee. How much of a leg up coming into a new job do those two experiences help you with this?
Well, I think it's really the resume laid out perfectly for this job. And I think, you know, very familiar with the SEC and the coaches and the players and the style of play and really what it's going to look like on a day-to-day basis. And I think, you know, I think when you come in the SEC, when you first get in, it's difficult. Everybody knows it's difficult, but just being able to understand the gravity and the breadth that is the SEC women's basketball, I think it's important that we have a foundation there. But also I think just understanding the state and understanding this region, I think that's critical, because that needs to be where we start and where we build from.
How good is the high school girls basketball in the state and in the region?
Oh, I think we have some really good players. I think, you know, some really good high school teams, well-coached teams throughout the state. Obviously, the big cities with St. Louis and Kansas City have to be target cities for us. And then, you know, we're going to make the state a priority. And then we understand we can't limit ourselves. We do have to look nationally, but as we do that, I really want to stay strong in this region. So, you know, our bordering states are really important as well.
Just a few more minutes with Missouri women's basketball coach Kelly Harper. We're in a really cool spot right now when it comes to women's basketball at the college level. Seems like every year the women's Final Four, the TV ratings are going up and up and up, and we're seeing more programs have opportunities to do something special. We can't talk women's basketball without talking about the impact that a Caitlin Clark is having. Now that's got a connection to Mizzou with Sophie Cunningham and everything going on right there. How much have you enjoyed watching what has happened with women's basketball in our country?
Well, I think it continues to grow. And I think the biggest thing that I think that I've seen in the last few years really is the respect that the sport has gotten from outsiders. And what outsiders, people that aren't necessarily connected to women's basketball, are starting to pay attention. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really cool. People are watching now that, you know, maybe weren't your stereotypical or traditional women's basketball fans. I think they're appreciating the game. And, you know, when you go to a game and you sit down low, you realize these women are really good. They are really talented. They are very physical. And I think it's really impressive. And, you know, hopefully, at least at our level, especially at Mizzou, we want to have a connection to our fans. We want to be able to be that team that there can be some ownership with. Anybody in this state, we're your team. Mm-hmm. We're your team. And I think that is a little bit different. I think that's where women's basketball at the college level can be a little bit different than any other sport. I think there's a connectivity that we can have to our fans.
I'm obviously a sports guy. I've got two daughters. I love when my daughters are able to be around women's basketball, because to me, I feel like there's that representation of I can do this, and I can go somewhere, and there can be all these people watching me play, just like you know, my friends who are boys in my class can do. I think that's a really impactful thing.
I agree. And let me tell you where you know you're making some headway. My son, he's 11, my son gets on his gaming system. Listen, not a gamer, don't know anything about it, but he thinks it's so cool that he can play with the women's basketball team. Hmm. How cool is that, you know? So we know that we're role models for all the young girls. And if I, you know, the opportunities that I had when I was young and growing up, I know I owe that to those that came before. And, you know, we want to continue to pave the way for young girls. But, you know, broaden that thing. I think we can be role models for little boys as well.
Kelly Harper is the women's basketball coach at the University of Missouri, going into her first season at Mizzou. Coach, great to meet you. Thank you for taking this time.
All right. Thank you.
That was Mizzou women's basketball coach Kelly Harper. Appreciate her taking some time with us when she was at Busch Stadium this past week for a Cardinals game. Up next, somebody else that we talked to at Busch Stadium this past week, figure skating legend Brian Boitano. If you're not aware, the U.S. Figure Skating Championships are going to be in St. Louis coming up in January. That's going to be it is the Olympic qualifying for U.S. figure skating, and they're going to be in St. Louis for that time. Brian Boitano is going to be part of that, doing some events, and we got the chance to talk with him as he was promoting the event. You'll hear that conversation coming up in just a moment. This is the Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Starting to wrap things up on this edition of a Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We've talked, we've had a lot of guests on today. I've certainly done a fair share of Cardinals baseball, but here on the 7 o'clock hour, have gotten a little bit into the St. Louis Blues and some other things as well. Just Cardinals are in a tough spot right now, and I said this earlier and I'll say it again. It feels like this is a kind of an intersection point of this season. Which direction are things going to go? And you make too much out of a single series. You make too much out of three games over 162. That's a problem. That's that we at times we need to pump the brakes on being too positive. That's probably I get pretty high when the Cardinals are doing some good special things, because it's fun. I really enjoy it. It's good to see. You see the potential in the team. Probably I should be reminded at times that if I'm going to give the message about it's just one of 162 or three of 162 or just one series, if I'm going to say all that stuff when things are going poorly, I need to be able to at least take a step back and say those things when things are going well. But it's a lot more fun when things are going well. That I think that advice is just it's a little bit easier to deal with when things are not going so well. But like I said earlier, this team, they had all this momentum. They had that three-game sweep of Cleveland. They had that day where they won and the Cubs lost and the Brewers lost and a bunch of the teams that they're next to in the wild card standings lost. It just felt like they had all this momentum. Now, let's be fair to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's been really good lately, and they may be the last place team in the division. I'm not trying to completely put lipstick on a pig. But this is also a team that just got done sweeping the Mets in a three-game series before they got done with the Cardinals. And they won that series by a combined 30-4 score. Now, I'll be honest, and I said this to a few people, so I don't, you know, when I get things wrong, I'm not too afraid to say that I got them wrong. I always, like, when I'm watching a team, I always get really worried when they're about to face off against a team that is on a terrible losing streak. Because those teams always have to come out of the terrible losing streak, right? And I've just got this, like, internal fear that, okay, this is going to be the team's get-right series. I don't have that same kind of fear. So when they swept that three game from the Mets and just rolled through them, I went into these last three games saying, you know what, okay, that's fine. The Pirates are the Pirates. They're going to come back to earth at some point, so let them come back to earth against the Cardinals. This could turn into a pretty good three games, and man, was I wrong on that one, because not only did the Cardinals lose all three games, they don't score a single run in the three games. And now they go into Chicago, and they've got a big weekend series against the Cubs, and the standings do look a little bit different today than they looked 3 days ago because of losing three straight. So you felt so good about things 3 days ago. You don't feel quite as good right now. It's only 3 days. But you don't want this series. When the 2025 St. Louis Cardinals baseball season comes to an end, we don't want to be looking at this series in late June, early July against the Pirates that started to do them in. So the way you make sure that, again, it's just a speed bump and nothing more than that, is you go have some success against Chicago and go from there. This is a pivotal time for this team as we are right around the corner from the trade deadline. And, yeah, we're going to we'll see what things look like here moving forward when it comes to that. That's going to do it for the program today. Thanks so much for being tuned in with us. Thanks to all of my guests on the show today. Had a lot of good Cardinal conversation, got into some other things as well. No Cardinal baseball tomorrow, so we'll have the full two-hour show tomorrow from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock, plus Redbird Rush Hour during the 5 o'clock hour tomorrow. Again, thanks for being tuned in. We look forward to talking to you again tomorrow for another Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
The temperature's rising outside, but you can stay cool and comfortable inside with Blinds.com. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Save up to 50%, plus get a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.